Guys?
Hi.
Okay, let's see if I fucking remember your names. Josh and Ryan.
You did
it. Yes, fuck yeah. Dude, good start. Thank God. This rocks. Okay.
We'll stay a little longer now.
Please. Honestly, I really haven't been enjoying talking to you guys before the mics went on. Like, I was telling you guys, I really, I love having full bands here, but I also like not having the lead singer.
Hear that, Dan?
Yeah.
I like it. And it's like normally something that I think people who do interviews are like, oh man, when you guys showed up, I was so stoked. I was fucking so happy.
No, it's normally the lead singer that goes and does these things.
Yeah, I know. Like, because we were just talking also before, like, about the, you know, you guys have been doing this for a minute. And it's like, at this point, it's like, what are you guys so sick of fucking talking about here in, like, interviews? Like, what are the things that you're just like, hey, I'm a person that's also, like, what, you know, like.
If someone says, what is the story of the year, that's a red flag that they've done.
Zero research
or just don't really care about talking to us, you know. But, no, it's like I was saying before the camera started rolling, like, dude, you'll never meet a group of dudes more grateful to still be doing this, you know. Like, so, I'm happy to talk to anyone about our band because I'm just as fired up about making music as I was when I was a teenager. Like, I'm so pumped to be able to do this for a job. So, like, just where we're working right now, you know. So it's like, we're down to like do all this stuff, you know.
Yep.
Like, I mean, if you boil it down, like, we are kicking it, and this is like a job. This is our job. We're both at work right now, and all we're doing is like talking about shit that we like and talking to people that we hopefully like. You guys probably leave and be like, fuck that guy.
No, you know? Dude, I think we all hit like the cosmic lottery, man. Like, you're working right now. You're talking to a bunch of bands that like a lot of them you probably listen to or like grew up listening to, and like we're out here, our wives are all out like playing music that we fucking love, and
with a bunch of bands that we've been friends with for 20 years.
Yeah.
and just
like all
giant
of us are super good friends. It's like, dude, your computer's gonna fall.
That's okay.
Oh, am I hallucinating? Was it? It was moving. It looked like it was moving.
Doesn't
anyway
matter.
We're all cosmic lottery winners in this room, dudes, and we don't take that for granted.
See, I want to talk a little bit about. I do have to talk about when we're young, because that's why we are here. We're not just actually just in Vegas.
Yeah.
I just met you guys in Vegas, and we're gonna do a bunch of gambling and drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are just here in the back, but like, so you guys are doing Page Avenue in full.
Yeah.
And, you know, we TJ, my partner and I, like, we do a podcast that kind of does, like, deep dives on these albums. Mm-hmm. And some of the artists I know really well, and some of the artists I don't know really well, and some of the artists he knows really well, and some of the artists he does not know really well.
Mm-hmm.
I knew your guys' the hits, you know, but I did not know as much about your band as, you know, maybe I thought, or like what he thought, and we found out a lot. And I really like, you know, and the cool thing about doing these things is you find a new respect, and you go back and listen to it, and you go, oh goddamn, these guys are influential in a way that like I did not realize. And that's kind of the way that I feel about your band. I think
awesome.
No, I and same, and I got to tell you, same thing with Shane. From Silver State, like I wasn't a huge fan. I went back. I also got roasted online about him. Like, and so I would go back and I'm like, fuck, dude, you know what? I see it because we all like the certain things that we like and gravitate. And I'm grateful to do the this podcast because it forces me to go in and it connect the dots. But when I was going to ask you guys that, all of that leading, being like, do you guys, for somebody like me, do you feel that Story of the Year is, in some ways, like an underrated band? In all honesty, it's okay. Like I think so. Yes,
no,
I think so.
It's kind of weird. You want me to go?
It's weird to say. I think yes. In the aspect of what would be this genre, because I mean, you read interviews over the years with other bands and bands that came after us and all the things, and I feel like we were part of that beginning of this sound that helped kind of shape it. like with us, the Used, Taking Back Sunday, like those bands from like 02 to 04 ish. Mm-hmm. We were a major part of it, but I feel like how stupid it and arrogant, I don't know if it sounds arrogant. I just feel like we were not appreciated as much because you were never talked about. Like I will read interviews and like you hear, see all these people list these influences and it's like, they don't want to say our name. Whether or not that's true or not,
or intentional, like. Or intentional, anything. Like, I mean, like, why do you think?
No, I think part of that too is like, our first record came out, and it's like, there's perception where it's like we kind of came from like nowhere because Until the Day I Die, like, it was like a big song, you know, like it was a big like hit, like it was top 10 in radio, and. Same thing with our second single, Anthem of Our Dying Day. When things kind of, like, go into the mainstream like that, there's kind of, like, a backlash with people in, like, a core, like, whatever's the genre or subgenre there is. And I think that kind of worked against us because, like, you know how it is when you grow up. It's like a band gets, like, if they're on the radio, there's, like, a lot of people that's, just like, that's a no-go. It's like, well, oh, they're not cool anymore.
Well, dude,
you know?
It's, like, it's an incredibly catch. I agree with 100%, like, in the original, like, podcast that we did.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, like, yeah. The conclusion that I came to. And it's kind of a catch-22 because you're like, I want to be in a band. Oh, and I want my band to do well. But if my band does well,
yeah,
then the fans are going to be like, we sold. But really, no, we're just been in a band forever. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm really happy to talk to you guys about this because that's the way that I feel. And what you're saying are those being an essential part of those artists. And the way that this whole thing sounds, I think you guys had a humongous part. And also, not only that, a stepping stone for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because what you did was, like, somebody who might be, like, afraid to listen to or turned off by hardcore. Like, mm-hmm. hardcore, right? Yeah. Like, when we talk about hardcore, we're talking about the extremes. What you guys did for, like, a lot of genres was bridge that gap.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that was like purely unintentional. Is us just being like, kind of ADD. When you put us behind our instruments, there's a little bit of ADD. We all have different influences.
Yeah, we all listen to a wide range
whatnot.
Of stuff.
So no, but dude, great question. That's definitely like fun and interesting to talk about in a way that a lot of questions aren't exactly at this point in our career. So that's like a really good, a good question, a good talking point for sure.
Well, I mean, it's just, look, I'm only asking it from like a human perspective, mm-hmm. and a human level, because yeah. I lay my head on a pillow every single night, mm-hmm. and I go, we should be doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like I go, we, you know.
Also just, I can add a little more texture.
Please.
To this. Also,
I really want to hear about this.
And this is kind of more from like a, you know, a little inside baseball, but like, there's things that like Josh mentioned, like Mike Hem, the Used, like everyone from like the 02 to 04, like kind of our genre, like, There's only a small handful of, I guess, Hawthorne Heights.
They came out a little after, like, yeah, a year
like,
after us.
There's very few bands that actually, like, broke through to that mainstream, and we were kind of, like, one of the first, you know? But the thing that, like, the Used and Mike Hem, they were so great at, like, their branding, like, their merch, like, their album art, like, everything, like, just the way, like, their team, like, did it. And we have been... We were really bad at that.
Historically.
Like, we were just skateboarding-ass kids from Missouri that are just like, oh, let's put a fish on our T-shirt, you know? And, like, we just had, like, we really were not good at that stuff ever. And I know that, like, that really, that, like, hindsight's always 20/20, but I know that, like, worked to our detriment.
We were not,
like,
good at listening to outside influence. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Nah, we're going to do it
Which
anyway.
I think, you know, in its core is, like, more... So if you like really boil it down,
but for sure, but if you look at like the Used, who like good homies of ours who I respect greatly, but like if you just go from like the first record to now, and even if you just look at like their merch and you look at their album art and you look at just like kind of like their just brand identity, for as douchey as that sounds, like they've always just like
I get it,
they just like fucking nailed it.
I,
you know?
I get it, but nobody asked you guys to be marketing geniuses. You guys wanted to just
no. We were like the opposite.
I know.
We were
nobody like, nobody yeah. said when you're gonna be in a band.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
By the way, you also have to be really good at branding.
Like no one in our band was ever like, oh, I'm gonna try to like be this misunderstood, like tortured, you know, person, like, we were just fucking idiots that liked to skateboard and, like,
yeah,
drink beers together, you know?
And that is really what I, you know? What,
like, our singer, I'm sorry to cut you off, but, like, our singer, Dan, like, the easiest lead singer you could ever be in a band with. And I will, that is a big statement, but, like, on planet Earth, there's not an easier singer. Like, dude, he's like Dave Grohl, just, I like whiskey, I like music. That's Dan.
He's like, it's like, dude, when I talk to him, we've known him, you know, for a minute now, yeah. And like, he does have a personality where it feels like, you know, some people just go through it. I pick apart everything, everything. I can't go through a goddamn fucking second without being like thinking about twice about everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm jealous of people that are like, hell yeah, I like whiskey, I like fucking punk rock, I like skateboarding, I like that. That's what I like.
He just, I guess it's all, like, just don't want to have a real job, just wants to play music. That's our singer. There's no one easier to be in a band with, you know?
There's no, like, weird singer drama where he disappears for 3 days.
Well, and a lot of things, like, that can, like, catapult, like, make people, like, you know, like, some of that stuff can make people, like, there's an attractive quality to that. Like, hey, that guy's a star because, you know, he's so dark. And, like, we have fucking fun. I don't know. Like, we're just, like, dudes from Missouri that have fun, you know? So that maybe works against us, too, you know?
Look, you answered, like, that is the big, that's the big question that I had, because it's a, if you look at it from, like you said, insider baseball, it, you guys are, it has all the elements to being like what everybody loves, like, and what they want to be. And then there was like one thing that just like something, it was like something that just, you know, and I don't know, you, maybe you nailed it with like, maybe it is the marketing. Maybe it is the fact that like Dan didn't get fucking wasted and leave for like, you know, a year and then come back. And like, maybe it is all of those things. But now what I think, and what I've been talking to, I'm going to bring it back around, you guys. Don't worry about this. But what I am finding is that now when I'm talking to all these artists and when I'm talking to fans of this genre in general, you guys get brought up a lot. You get brought up a lot, a lot. And I think that there's, the, you know, whether it is time and place, whether it is where we are at, whether it's enough time is back, whether people have sat on it for as long, maybe they put connected the dots. Story of the year is getting brought up more and more and more and more every day.
Well, I think a lot of that is like, one, just because like it's not like a big radio thing anymore. It's just you put stuff, it goes, you publish straight to the streamers and your fans get it. So there's not that like mainstream backlash kind of anymore, you know? But dude, we're just like that, that whole, our whole thing that we have, right? Now at this point in our career, it's like our superpower because, dude, we're like, I mean, you've talked to how many bands, like, so you know how many bands, like, we all know, we know the same bands, like, don't fucking like each other. Like, there's always at least two people, like, I can't fucking stand that guy. Singer hates the guitar player, blah, 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 whatever. Like, dude, our shit is drama free. I talk to this dude every day of my life.
I noticed the way that you guys were talking when we were setting up the cameras, and it sounds like it. And that's, and I believe it. And that is what a, what a wild place to be.
I just feel like with that, I mean, we've never really had that kind of drama, really. But also, like, at our age and how long we've been doing it, like, I'm not going to go on tour with people I don't like and want to be around.
Yep.
Like, it has to be fun. I have to be able to support my family. And that's pretty much the criteria of it.
Yeah. It's actually not that heavy of a criteria if you break it down.
No, but like, you know what I mean, though?
That's,
like,
it's pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing. It's like, we went, I mean, don't get me wrong. Every band goes through like stretches of like, somebody messes up on stage and everybody's mad at that person. It's like, now it's like,
I've never messed up.
You want to go listen to that first DVD?
Yeah. Sorry, guy.
If somebody messes up now, we all just look at each other and laugh. Yeah. Just go, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I mean, do you think that's an age thing?
Yeah.
Dude, it's like before we started, the camera started rolling, like, we're just, it's just a trip that we're doing this still. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Just
like, we've been hanging out since middle school. Middle school, dude. And I have a 16-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old son. Yeah. Like,
Who, by the way, favorite band saves the day.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for 16. And Chris Connolly's my favorite guy in the entire world. I don't love a guy. I don't really love a guy more than him. He's like, awesome. You know, yeah. I'm never nervous to interview people.
Mm-hmm.
I've known this guy for going on like, you know, 9 years. Every single time I see him,
some people have that effect.
Do you guys, being in this, do you guys have any of that stuff?
Not really. I mean, there are people that if I met, I would be like, whoa, that's crazy. Like people that were like the soundtrack to my childhood, yeah. You know, like, but I don't know that there's certain people I don't know if I'd want to meet because I wouldn't want to like taint that, you know?
Like when we first went on tour with the Deftones, it was weird for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't weird anymore. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh, hey.
Love Deftones.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, look, you guys, you know, extensive research. You guys went on tour with like humongous bands.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
Big tour we ever did was Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Who are like the sweetest dudes you could ever imagine.
It was,
you
know, one of the best tours I've ever been on. Not just because of the size of it, but just how they treated everybody. Yeah. It was amazing.
I mean, that's been my experience, and it's honestly been my experience throughout this entire scene, and why I think that this is like such an incredible thing. Yeah. There's like one or two people that like, I'm like, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
The rest, you know, but for an entire
ethos
and genre of music to have one or two people being like,
But I think that's like, everyone is kind of like, there's this, because we're friends with all these bands. It's like, there's this kind of common thread that everyone has, even if you don't talk about it, you know, it's like, dude, we all get to do this again. Like, we all get to do this still, I should say. You know, like, this is crazy. And, like, that people care as much about this music as they did 20 years ago. This is wild. You know?
That's something I was going to ask you
about.
Everyone's
grateful, you know?
Dude, that's something I was going to ask you about. Like, because, you know, and I've talked to a couple people about this, you know, today and all the time. Because, like, that's when we started this thing, is when I was like, oh, this, nobody likes us. Like, nobody likes the thing that I like. It's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
Started in late 2014, mm-hmm. right? And it was unheard of that people were, you know, it was very, like...
Well, we felt it. We know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, like, you know, what to be where we're at right now, like, is this... Like, you know, I know how you feel about it, but like, did you think that we were going to be in this direction, or did you think that this was going to?
No. I didn't think it would. I never thought it would come back around like it has. I knew that, like, just maybe not specifically this genre, but like rock in general, it hit like a weird lull, unless you were Foo Fighters. Beyond that, like,
yeah.
But then it all just kind of came back around. I feel like you guys probably helped with that a ton. Just redoing, like, you know what I mean? Just playing those songs all the time and finding, you know what I mean? The way you guys marketed it and everything, I think it helped kind of bring it all back again. But then, like, I think for us, you know, making the last record was, it just helped it even more because, like, we could have come back into this thing again and put out a crappy record. Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't have, I don't know that it wouldn't be what it is for us currently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but yet to answer your original question, I didn't expect it like to come back like this. I mean, we were always going to eventually make music again for sure, no matter what, but it just kind of helped that it was all coming back too.
Yeah, I thought for sure it's like we'd put new music out and just service just our fans. Right. Like the idea of servicing like a culture that's like actually big again, for lack of a better word, didn't even occur to me. You know, like in 2010, 2013, like this shit's gone, you know?
And what a, like, I mean, to me, it like gives me chills, right? Like it's a think about like, it says a lot about, like, where we're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does say a lot about where we're at. And, I mean, at the core of it, like, you know, it's punk rock, it's emo, it's hardcore, it's pop punk. Like, it, you know, it's kind of, it's different. It's all music with emotion and angst and some, you know, whatever you want to call this stuff. Yeah. And that's, to me, the fact that it's so big says a lot, and especially with young people, says a lot about where we're at. And it always leads me to going back, like, why? You know, like, why? Is it a generational thing? Mm-hmm. Is it just that's the time to do it? Or is it because we were the last generation before we could just look up stuff and mm-hmm. or we had to find shit? We had mm-hmm. to, like, go outside? Like, it's a very big, big, big question. And it's kind of a loaded thing because I don't know the answer. It's probably, like, yeah. sociological fucking...
Who knows?
Political fucking things about it. But, I mean... The fact that you guys are aware of it and are grateful is a really...
Oh, always grateful.
Really, mm-hmm. really fucking cool thing. And like I said, your guys' name is coming up a lot.
Sweet, man.
Awesome.
It's really great. And I'm not bullshitting you. I'd much rather have you guys than Dan. Like, I really would. Dude, I really, yeah. really, really would. I never get to talk to, like, other people in yeah. bands. And, like, you know, from... You guys have been a band for... I'm going to get this wrong. What's the how many years?
This band.
We've been playing together since like middle school, but like this band, we
22.
It was late 90s, and then we switched our name. It was the same band, but we had a different band name. We got a record deal, and then switched our name to Story of the Year in like 2002. You know, so
yeah,
24, 25 years. I don't know.
So these are personal questions.
And, bring it
yeah. and
bring it, sir.
And I like want. It sounds generic, but it's actually a truthful question. It's like, what is the, you know, out of doing this for since like late 90s, like the most rewarding thing about being in a band? And not, I really don't want like a
no,
PR
dude,
answer.
Can I go first?
Nick, you go ahead.
Yeah, dude, the idea of making something, putting it out in the world and having it emotionally affect like another human. Like, we do, like, these VIP, like, meet and greets and shit, and, like, at least one person has, like, some song lyrics tattooed on them or has a story about how it helped them through a hard time. They lost a loved one. Someone went to Afghanistan, yada, yada, like, whatever. So when you hear those stories, you're like, Jesus Christ, like, I wrote that song just at some rant on a Tuesday in my bedroom, and then, like, 2 years later, people across the planet are hearing it. Like, that in itself is just wild and hugely... I mean, like, what does everyone want? It's a sense of meaning and purpose, right? That what you're doing has purpose and a sense of meaning. And, like, I'm kind of like the romantic of the group. I, like, really, really feel things really hard like that, you know? But to me, that's it. Just connecting, like, maybe just changing someone else's emotional state, you know? Like, what a gift that is to do that for someone, you know?
I mean, that's the way I feel. Like, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
But what
about... Yeah, I mean... Echoing the same thing, really. It's
it was really nicely put, by the way. Like, it was good.
It's like, you know, there was a point in time where we kind of took a break and we didn't make music for 7 years. We did random shows, but it was never. We took a break. And I, you know, because we don't make a lot of money, I went and I had to get a job. And, like, I worked a normal job for 7 years and always dipping back into Story of the Year, like. Once it got to the point where we were making a new record, it's like going back to that and only doing Story of the Year, it just makes you so grateful to be able to do that, to be able to go play these shows for people. I mean, every one of us has a hard time leaving home now, especially with kids. It's, you know, it's so many different emotions of not seeing them, the pressure it puts on my wife when I'm gone and all that stuff. But when I get on stage... And you see all these people screaming these lyrics, whatever they mean to them and how much they're feeling it, you're on stage and you go, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be doing this with these people and this, like, this is why I'm here. This is why I was put on earth.
And dude, just like for me, kind of a heavy thing to say, but just like mental health, like I'm not, like I know this about myself, right? There's a lot of things I'm on a journey. I'm trying to figure out about myself. But here's one thing I know about myself. If I'm making something, I'm good. Like, I'm good, you know? Like, if you put me in a cubicle, like, I'll fucking die. Like, I'll be like a lizard that's in the zoo and their scales fall off and they're just like, nah. Like, that's what would happen to me if I had to, like, sit in a cubicle, you know? So I'm making shit for other people and, like, that fills my cup. Like, my cup's overflowing when I can do that, you know? So... the selfish part of that answer is, like, it's also for me, too, you know?
Like, that was a beautiful answer, by the way. That was really a sweet and honest answer. And that I understand more than anything.
Yeah.
I feel like a fucking, sharks, they can't stop fucking moving, or they I don't know, yeah, they die or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally how I feel. If I'm not doing something and I'm not making something, I would, there are times where I have to open a spreadsheet and I'm just like, I would rather fucking blow my brains out. Like, I don't want to fucking deal with any of this shit. Like, I want to be making something with purpose. Yeah. And like, while I understand those things are meaningful and they do have purpose, like, it's just not the way that I communicate. Mm-hmm. And so I very much understand what you're saying, where you're like, that's this. And yes, selfish, but also like, at the same time, for other people, selfless.
Well, also, like, I don't think there's anything to apologize for. Like, not everyone is meant for that or has the brain wiring like that. I'll never be the president of the United States. I'm never going to cure cancer or whatever, But, like, there are people out there that can do that. There's people that can sit in cubicles and do these, like, I'm just not one of those people.
I have the utmost respect for those people. I find it absolutely fascinating, and I wish every fucking day that I had the ability to sit down in class and ingest information the way that, like, my sister does.
Dude.
She can, I don't have that thing.
I barely graduated high school. I had to go a half year and still barely graduated because I cared about nothing besides music.
It doesn't make any, and those are the things. Their brains just work that way, and they're wired that way, and I'm like, this is a whole fucking, I don't know. Is this the reason why it's so big? Is there people just love? I don't know. We're a generation of people that feel stuff.
Yeah, but also you can feel things and be an artist and all that. But I'm at the end of the day, I'm a worker, dude. It's not, when I say the cubicle thing, I'm not disparaging anyone that works hard, because I'm the hardest worker I know. I just, instead of a cubicle, I have a guitar in my hand.
Dude, I kill myself every day.
But it's not about being lazy. It's oh, I want to sleep till noon and not work and not have a job. Fuck that. I work my nuts off, I wake up at 5:45 every fucking morning. I work my nuts off. It's just, I have a guitar instead of a hammer, instead of a pencil or a computer.
Let me ask you this because I understand. I haven't taken a vacation in ages. I'm burnt out. I'm 6 months past burnt out, and I won't stop. You know what I mean? Because I'm this is the way I look, and I know the answer to this because of myself, but I'm trying to fill a hole in me with, something that it's this, whatever I do is not going to fill it. Right. It doesn't matter. And so the thing that really keeps me I understand what you're saying. I really do. And I'm right there with you. How do you get up at 5:45? This is my question. And be creative. What if the inspiration doesn't come? Where do you, because that's our job. That's what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. That's our job. Our job is somewhat based on, you can't put a schedule to some of this shit. Sometimes it comes at fucking 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, dude, most of the shit I write sucks all the dicks, And I strike out 100 times for every one cool riff I write or one cool song I deliver or whatever, But I'm still clocking the fuck in, And that's kind of the short answer, And, dude, to your thing about not being able to turn it off, and I've been like that my whole life. And I'm going to give you the most, Midwest wholesome answer to that in the entire world. I had kids, and I learned how to, I can turn it off at nighttime now. My kids get off school, I shut Pro Tools, and I'm dad mode, and it took kids for me to find, balance, how normal humans have balance,
It's,
That's this guy. I've been a spaz my entire fucking life, because we always had to share hotel rooms. It'd be 4 in the morning in London. I'm locked in the bathroom recording music and shit, and I'm like, oh, I got this song, boy. And he's like, bro, it's 4 in the morning,
Now all I have to do is find somebody to have kids with,
that's my path.
I believe you too, because it takes us out of ourselves. We have to give a shit about, because ultimately, I have myself and my dog to care about.
Oh, dude. Sorry, I'll keep interrupting you.
No.
But no, that's what it is. It's like for the first time, like, it's different than with your wife or your family or whatever. But like when a life comes from your, like you make a life, it's like I love this way more than I can ever love myself. And that is like the most beautiful way I could imagine going through life. You know what I'm saying? So, like when people are like, oh, being a parent's so hard, blah, blah. I've never had any of that. It's been the joy of my fucking life. Like, it's been the greatest privilege and honor like I'll ever have. It's nothing hard about it to me. I love it. And it makes my art better, makes me more creative, makes me feel more. So yeah, it's like, that was like, that's, I don't know. It translates to the band shit. Like, I'm a way better human after having kids, you know? Like, they're not like a burden. It's like the opposite, you know?
I think that this is probably like the most insightful interview that we could have possibly done.
Oh, sweet.
Like, I don't even think we talked shit about, did we say anything about the band and what you guys were doing at when we were young? I think this is like a really nice. Just,
you know, people can Google that shit.
Playing some songs.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just in case we have to clip stuff, give me the stage and time.
Okay, yeah.
Go stage at 2:50 both days.
Perfect.
You Page guys, Avenue in full.
Yeah, do you figure out what you're cutting? Because when we talked to Dan, he was like, dude, we have
so
to.
So what we're going to do is we're not going to, like, there's two songs that we'll just flip-flop each day. So if you come Saturday, you won't see one song. If you come Sunday, you won't see one song. It's the only way we could do it.
Fucking, this is, I love this interview, you guys.
Me too, man.
Did you think you were going to pop into something like this, or do you think I was just gonna ask?
No, I'm really happy. I'll talk about that kind of. Yeah. I would sit here for 3 more hours and
Me
talk
too.
To you about like making shit.
I really love this stuff. Yeah. I mean, look, I know we gotta go, but like, I just I finally bit the bullet and downloaded Ableton and bought Ableton out like 3 months ago.
Nice.
It's literally all I think about.
Hell yeah.
Like I am literally all I think about, and for nothing. You know, like I'm not trying to do anything.
Bro,
as
making shit
happy,
feels good.
All that matters.
You guys, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
in.
Dude.
No, dude, thank you.
Dude, you guys are great.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. All right, you guys, story of the year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.